Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And my name is Mark Muro. And today our guests are David Edgecombe and Karina Becker from UAA, Department of Theater and Dance. And they're here to talk about A Doll's House, their new play, which opens tonight on the stage there at the Fine Arts Building. Welcome, guests.
Yes, and it is a new play too, Mark. It's a new adaptation that won the Tony Award in 1997 for Best Revival. First time it's been seen in Alaska, and it was a big hit back in 97, so we're looking forward to presenting a new and more modern Doll's House.
And this is by Henrik Ibsen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's Norwegian.
Yes.
Right? And this was written around the turn of the century?
Well, a little earlier than that. It was actually written in 1879, based on a friend of Ibsen's. And he knew this woman and knew of her situation and put it in a play, and it's become not only one of the most famous plays in modern literature, it's also really a wonderful play about human beings and a struggle in a marriage and a woman trying to find herself.
It's like a doll's house. It's like a bird in a gilded cage kind of thing.
What do you think, Karina? Is she a bird in a gilded cage?
In a way, she is. She doesn't realize that until later on as the play progresses, when she starts to realize that she's kind of been trapped by her situation and needs to find a way out.
And do you play the
lead
role? Yes. Yeah, I was going to say the eponymous doll woman.
Yes, I play Nora Helmer.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, I can see that. I don't know why, but you look like you might be a specialist. Well, no, but you look like you could be used to the gilded cage.
When she appears on stage, for the first time when I saw her in costume, as I told her, she looked like a little porcelain doll, and she just looks very fragile and very, very appropriate to the character.
Very appropriate. That's
the
word.
Of course, I don't think I'm spoiling it for anyone when I say that Nora ends up leaving her husband. And this in 1879 was a shocking move. Here's a woman who wants to find herself and leaves her husband, her children, and what they call the door slam heard round the world. And it's I think we'll see even today that play generates a good deal of controversy.
I remember seeing it and of course reading it in the 50s and 60s when women were making this move, and it was a very, very powerful play at that time in the older version. So I'm really anxious to see the newer version.
Yes. I think we've had some women see it already, and it does. One of the discussions is, should the children become a victim of a wife's search for self-knowledge? And I think people will be taking sides on that issue. But she leaves them with her husband, but her husband is very much a Victorian man and wants his woman controlled and wants to really wear the pants in the family.
Kind of like today.
It is kind of like today in so many ways.
Right? Yeah. Well, this is like a proto-feminist, like you say, it was a big thing in its time and everything, and still continues to resound. And because there's almost been like a rollback. People, it's like you can really erase a whole idea from the conventional wisdom when all the people who were proponents of it die. Mm-hmm. And then you could be as revisionist as you want and just, jump back a century. Life, Karina. I mean, have you had any of these, Victorian strictures binding you to things, institutions that you don't care for? Or do you think it's much ado about, like, okay, you're liberated, so what do I got to push against?
No, I don't necessarily think that I, per se, have been constricted or limited in any way. But I'm still pretty young, so I've got time. But I still think it's still as valuable a subject as it was then. And I know many people who have been under those constraints. So whereas I may not have experienced it myself, there are other people that I'm kind of being the voice for. So I think it's just as important and valid today.
Yes, indeed it is. I did a study some years ago of domestic violence in Anchorage, and this situation occurs a lot still.
Mm-hmm.
I read some reviews of this play around the turn of the century, and some famous actresses played it, but some of the reviews were written by men who said what she needed was a good spanking. And we're advocating using violence on Nora in order to keep her in the house.
Hey, tame that shrew.
Yes. And in some of the productions, especially the one in Germany that Ibsen actually wrote an alternate ending for, it was so shocking that she leaves that some places wouldn't produce it without a change in ending. Mm-hmm. But it was one of the most popular plays in the world. So they were doing it whether or not it was the version that Ibsen wrote. Even in New York City, they changed the ending.
And really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They chant like she decides to stay after
all. Yes. I hope you've learned your lesson, Torvald. I'm not going. So, the German one, he brings the children in, and she collapses in tears in front of the children, and that's mm-hmm. the curtain. And Ibsen said it was one of the worst things he ever did in his life, rewrite that ending.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I bet.
Wow. I bet. Well, tell us a little bit about the playwright Ibsen. When did he live and when, you know, and what else did he do?
Well, luckily I brought my lecture along with me. And he was, I think what we call him today, the father of modern drama. And in many ways, we're still doing Ibsen's plays today, even when we do modern plays, because
Edward Albee.
Edward Albee is certainly an Ibsenist. Mm-hmm. It has one set, generally. It's about social issues, and it's poignant theater. And all of that is what modern playwrights aspire to. He's the one who really started that. He moved away from poetic drama and started what we call his social theme plays. Enemy of the People, which is about environment and the populace picking the wrong lies to believe in. And, of course, Nora and A Doll's House, which is really about feminism and the suffragette movement and freedom of the individual. His main theme is always an individual has to live totally or they're not living at all.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests Karina Becker and David Edgecombe, talking about UAE's production of a new translation, I suppose, of A Doll's House.
Yes.
A Doll's House. Mm-hmm. And in what way is this new? Just in the language or
in
the feeling?
It follows. I've read quite a few translations, and it follows the original very carefully. But you won't get any of that sort of stodgy feeling that some of the turn-of-the-century translations have. And also, we're not supposed to admit it, but we've even updated a few of the lines just to make sure that it's very contemporary. Mm-hmm.
Updated the lines. You know, I hear some like kind of, you know, hip hop stuff going on.
No, there's some very British words in there that we had to change.
Like what?
Frittering.
Frittering away
for
your
babbling.
Time.
Oh. So, like, I'm talking a lot, so I say okay. I'm frittering away. So we changed it to babbling just to make it more accessible to our audience.
That's in The Music Man, frittering. yeah, but that's also a turn of the century kind of thing.
I think our audience is going to be just delighted. The set is so beautiful. The costumes done by Kate Williams are gorgeous and very authentic.
Wow.
The lighting design, I think you'll find Dan Anto's lighting design to be just gorgeous. So I do invite everyone to come and hopefully talk. You won't leave singing the songs in this show. You'll leave discussing the issues. So come ready to discuss.
And it's a very important play, and you know there's a lot of value to it. And Karina, with this role here, was there a certain kind of style or kind of a movement you had to do? Like within, are you all trussed up and corseted?
Yes, I am. My costume is corset and bustle and all the fancy attire. And it definitely helped. I mean, I tried to establish a physical character before I started in costume, but definitely once you put that costume on, it just changes your movement. And Nora just has to come out.
I might add that Karina's a senior, and John Minton, who plays Torvald, is a senior. We have a number of other seniors in the cast. You're going to be seeing the best of UAA in probably one of the best productions I've ever directed, if you don't mind me being really modest.
Oh, you're the director. Okay.
That's why I'm here, Mark.
I'm sorry. I get so confused. I thought maybe you played like the grandpa or something.
The dead grandpa. Thank you, Mark.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Now, what's the relation to Chekhov between Ibsen?
Whoa. Now, you're really asking some theoretical questions here, but Chekhov loved Ibsen, and Ibsen really inspired Chekhov.
I would think so.
And you've mentioned two of my three favorite playwrights now. now. So I'm.
You know, I saw your lecture on TV.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, okay, like, yeah. You're up at like 5 a.m. Yeah. And you know you're on like channel 36.
I can always tell the insomniacs because they're the ones who say you're the guy on TV. But Chekhov loved Ibsen, and even though his plays are markedly different and don't deal with political and social issues, they except people. They both inspired each other. Ibsen read Chekhov. Ibsen also had a picture of Strindberg over his desk so he could write against that madman, as he called him. Now, these people were all studying each other's work. It was an exciting time in theater.
Is there anything like it today that it may be too soon to say? But
yeah, the Valdez Conference.
Okay, the Valdez Conference. the big iconoclasts come together and lock horns there.
Yes.
On the stages of Valdez.
Yes.
This is an important show, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's a good opportunity because this doesn't get performed much.
No, it doesn't. Not in Alaska, anyway. It's one of the usuals that get performed in universities across the country. But it has been 20-some years. I think Gene was reminding us that it's been a long time since this.
Yeah, it was early in the really early theater. It could even have been as early as the 50s. It was the same producer as did for the Boris Karloff, the famous Boris Karloff.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yeah.
Frank Brink.
Yeah, and it was around that same time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes,
we're running out of time.
Both of you.
And we all look very, very much look forward to seeing A Doll's House. And on the main stage at UAA.
Right. We open tonight, and please get some tickets. You can get them through the usual vendors.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now, here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, go to datebooked49.com, where you can list your event on KSKA's website. At Out North, starting tonight, you can see Rounding Third. This baseball comedy runs through April 24th. Watch two little league coaches turn a ball field into a battlefield. Showtimes are 7:30 Thursday through Saturday and 4 on Sunday, except for Easter. For tickets and information, call 279-8099 or go to www.outnorth.org.
The Drunk Kid with music by Barry Manilow continues at the Valley Performing Arts Makatans Theater in Wasilla. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2, and this show runs through April the 11th. For tickets and information, go to valleyperformingarts.org or you can call 373-0195.
One night only, you can see a production of Bon Appetit, a hilarious short, less than 1 hour, opera, based on one of Julia Child's TV cooking shows. This show features mezzo-soprano Nancy Caudill as Julia and features actor-comedian Shane Mitchell as her assistant. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
Tonight, TBA presents Improvaganza at 7 p.m. at the Wilder Marston Theater in the Lusac Library. For more information or to register a team, please email our education director, Wayne Mitchell, at wayne@tbatheater.org, and that's theater with T-H-E-A-T-R-E. And TBA's theater store classes begin on tomorrow. To register for a class, you can go to play@tbatheater.org or call 677-PLAY.
Anchorage Community Theater presents Moonlight and Magnolias. This is in its last weekend. The play is about David Selznick with an insider's look at the making of Gone with the Wind. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 3. Call 868-4913 or email acthome@gci.net to reserve your seats.
UAA and Anchorage Opera presents Kismet for 4 performances, beginning next Thursday, April 8th, and continuing through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. with a final Sunday performance at 4 in the UAA Recital Hall. This classical music features the music of Borodin, including the theme Stranger in Paradise. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
Only two more performances remain of Cyrano's performance of You Can't Take It With You, tonight and tomorrow night at 7. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
And there will be three performances of Your Good Man Charlie Brown at APU's Grant Hall this weekend. Showtime's tonight at 7 o'clock and Saturday at 7 and at 10 p.m. also. No reservations are necessary.
Finally, on the UAA main stage, you can see a production of Ibsen's famous play, A Dollhouse. This show opens tonight and will run through April 18th. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.